السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Gatherings of many various kinds exist in the world, or one can say that various gatherings pursued diverse goals. Some gatherings serve the purpose of consultation. In other words, consultation is undertaken in them to achieve worldly goals. That consultation may be for the running of a government, or it may consist of consultation undertaken by assemblies of politicians. There may be gatherings of businessmen, or the conversation may be about sports and recreation, because there are also societies that are dedicated for that. Then there also exist some so-called academic gatherings, and they also have committees formed for them. People also convene and ponder in order to devise recreational programs. In short, all these various gatherings and committees and such assembling serves worldly purposes. And these gatherings are not meant for God Almighty or for His pleasure or to attain His nearness. And even if an assembly is called for the betterment of mankind, and some matters are pondered over, it also serves worldly purposes. And their purpose is not to attain the pleasure of God Almighty. However, there are some gatherings or assemblies which serve the purpose of the faith and which are meant for evoking the remembrance of Allah the Almighty, or for devising plans to bring mankind closer to Allah the Almighty, or for seeking the means of progressing in spirituality. The participants of such assemblies take part in these gatherings in order to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. In short, the purpose of these assemblies is to ensure that whatever we do and whatever planning we undertake and whatever programs that society runs, their goal should be the attaining of the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and refraining from all kinds of absurdities. Such assemblies are dear to Allah the Almighty. And the positive outcomes of such assemblies are manifested in this very world. And Allah the Almighty also rewards the participants of such assemblies in the hereafter. Thus, it is the duty of a believer that whether a sitting is in the general household with his wife and children, or it is outside of his home, he should always endeavor to see as to how he can attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and also to look after and improve his spirituality. And to enhance his own state and that of the other believers. Even a seemingly worldly sitting of a believer is not void of the remembrance of Allah the Almighty. Even while performing worldly tasks, one refrains from all that is vain. And even if one is preoccupied with worldly tasks, he does not fail to remember God Almighty. Even in the sittings related to worldly affairs, a believer does not speak of deceiving or usurping the rights of others, even though he may be occupied with worldly tasks. Unlike it is spoken nowadays in the assemblies of worldly people and politicians. Rather, the fear of Allah the Almighty and taqwa, i.e. righteousness, are kept in view. This is exactly what is expected from a believer. That is, he should always keep these things in mind. The guidance which Allah the Almighty has issued to the believers in the Holy Quran regarding assemblies and gatherings is also this, that the assemblies of believers should be free from any kind of disorder and rebellion. They should be free from sin and refraining from the disobedience of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and conducive to taqwa, i.e. righteousness. However, it is a shame that nowadays most assemblies of Muslims are completely contrary to that, and Muslims are busy trying to destroy other Muslims and plotting against them. Whereas Allah the Almighty states, meaning, O ye who believe, when you confer together in secret, confer not for the commission of sin and transgression and disobedience to the Messenger, but confer for the attainment of virtue and righteousness, and fear Allah, unto whom you shall all be gathered. However, as I mentioned, that Muslims have forgotten this command of Allah the Almighty. And the division between them is at its peak. The sign of believers, as Allah the Almighty has mentioned, is that ruhamau bainahum. In other words, that they have a relationship of love and affection between themselves. However, the condition that we observe here is that which Allah the Almighty has in fact described about the disbelievers, which is that qulubuhum shatta, which is that their hearts are divided. The the consultations they do between themselves and also with others, and even the secret covenants that they make. They do so whilst being disobedient to God and His Messenger and are far from righteousness. They have completely lost the fear of Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty states that fear Allah, unto whom you shall all be gathered. At that time, governments, kingdoms, wealth, and the support of Western powers will be of no avail. And also at that time, no great power will be able to divert the punishment of being disobedient to the commands of Allah the Almighty and His Messenger. In fact, the state of those who call themselves Muslims and yet make the world the object of their lives and make every endeavor for it is a foolish act on their part. And moreover, it is a practical demonstration of the fact that they have no faith and belief in Allah the Almighty. Otherwise, if they had the slightest of faith and belief in Allah the Almighty, then neither would the condition of Muslim politicians and leaders be as it is today, and nor would the condition of the so-called Muslim scholars be as we see it today. Nevertheless, in this era, it is our responsibility to not only purify ourselves from such thoughts and to increase the fear of Allah the Exalted and righteousness within us. Rather, those who have relations with these people, i.e. with the non-Ahmadi Muslims, they should explain to the Muslims in their circles and areas as much as they possibly can, and explain to them that this state of yours will not only shackle you into absolute slavery by non-Muslims, but this will also make you the recipient of the punishment of Allah the Almighty. The world that you are chasing will escape your hands, and you have already forsaken religion. Thus, it is now time to develop the fear of Allah the Almighty and righteousness in your hearts. Otherwise, you will lose everything. One of the gatherings for the consultation on worldly matters is that of the UNO. And its meeting was held in recent days, and the President of America delivered a speech. And the Western analysts and columnists here also wrote with regards to it, stating that instead of developing peace, his speech was more prone to incite disorder and chaos. In fact, they also openly wrote that perhaps Saudi Arabia and some other Muslim countries would have rejoiced at this speech. Otherwise, it was an utterly disappointing speech, which incited war and disorder. Hence, Muslim governments must reflect on the commandments of Allah the Almighty and should refrain from every kind of disorder and chaos. Nevertheless, here I have mentioned the general state of affairs in the Muslim world. However, we must reflect upon and assess our own conditions also. And we must always remember that Satan will never tolerate to see the Jamaat progress. Satan, according to his nature, will continue his endeavors to cause distress within us and to divide us. Thus, those people who occasionally get together and discuss the Nizam-e-Jamaat i.e. the administrative system of the Jamaat of the local areas or their cities or of that of the entire country, are at times doing so. In fact, they are most certainly doing so under the influence of Satan. Because the work of Satan is to attack whilst disguised in the garment of sympathy. And people who are in fact not against the administration of the Jamaat also partake in such gatherings. As a matter of fact, since they feel the pain of the Jamaat, they therefore do not consider such a person to be creating disorder. Rather, they say that since there is a need for reformation, therefore such a person is correct in voicing his opinion out of his sympathy for the Jamaat. However, if there is a need for reformation and for improvement, then it should be brought to the attention of the higher administrative system of the country and to the Khalifa of the time. Furthermore, to then hold gatherings here and there and discuss these matters in a manner of great secrecy, as if highly important matters are being discussed, and as if they are being discussed out of sympathy towards the Jamaat, is absolutely wrong. These are signs of sin, rebellion, and disobedience to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and being far from righteousness. Thus, Allah the Almighty has also cautioned believers from such gatherings, in that they should refrain from partaking in them. If there is any complaint against an office bearer or against the Amir, i.e. the national president, the Merkaz should be informed, and it should be brought to the attention of the Khalifa of the time. Following this, the duty of the members of the Jamaat is then completed. It is then the duty of the Khalifa of the time to look at the matters and handle and solve them accordingly. Indeed, everyone should continue to supplicate, and every Ahmadi should fervently supplicate that Allah the Almighty removes every evil aspect from the Jamaat, and that He continues to bless the Jamaat with people who tread on the path of righteousness and fulfill their duties with righteousness. Thus, everyone should remember this important matter. And as Allah the Almighty will continue to cause the Jamaat to progress, Satan would also continue his work. From the very first day, Satan had clearly said to Allah the Exalted and sought his permission to lead mankind and the believers astray. Where the opponents of the Jamaat openly oppose the Jamaat and make schemes and continue doing so, there they also try, in the name of sympathy, to utilize simple-minded people and those who are weak in their faith as tools of creating disorder. Thus, every Ahmadi should be cautious in this regard. May Allah the Almighty protect the Jamaat from every kind of disorder, whether it is internal or external. And may He enable us to always partake in gatherings of virtue and righteousness, rather than gatherings of sin, rebellion, disobedience to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and gatherings that lead away from righteousness. There are various sayings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, regarding different kinds of gatherings and their atmosphere. And there are also various sayings of his true servant, i.e. the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, which I shall present. Mentioning the nature of the gathering of a believer and what his response should be if its standard is not befitting a believer, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, that we believe, which should also be the practice of a believer, that if a person speaks, then he should do so clearly and openly. Otherwise, he should remain silent. if you observe that Allah and His Messenger are being mocked in a gathering, you should either leave the gathering, lest you be counted among them, or you should openly reply to them. There are only two options. There is no option beside this. If a person is a true believer, he should either reply to them or remain silent and walk away. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says that the third option is hypocrisy, whereby one sits in a gathering and agrees with the other person, and though expresses his own view, but only subtly. In other words, one remains seated in the gathering and displays pliancy, or out of fear agrees with the others, and yet at the same time, in a very subdued manner, says that what you say is wrong and this should not be done in such and such manner, but still does not say this openly. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that this is hypocrisy, and it is not the practice of a believer. Therefore, in a gathering where one's faith is ridiculed, or if someone plans a scheme against faith, or someone is speaking in such a manipulative manner that it might sow seeds of doubt in one's heart, then the action of a believer should be to strictly forbid from any scheme that is devised against Allah, His Messenger, or the system of administration of a Jamaat established by Him. A believer should tell those who say such things that if you consider all these things to be true, then you should inform the Khalifa of the time and the administration of the Jamaat. But it is not permissible to talk openly in this manner. If someone continues to sit in such gatherings and disagrees only subtly, and he does not express his views openly, then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has stated that this becomes hypocrisy, and a believer should safeguard himself from it, and he should not exhibit a lack of honor and dignity in matters of faith and administration of the Jamaat. One can express dignity and a sense of honor in two ways: either respond openly, or then leave such a gathering. This is the way Allah the Almighty has advised us to take, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has elaborated upon this. Hence, it is narrated that a companion came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and stated that, O Messenger of Allah, please grant me some advice. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that adhere to righteousness, and when you attend a gathering of a group of people where you hear things which are in line with your nature, then remain there. This means that if there is a pious gathering, and it is not one which can cause strife and discord, then you can attend that. However, if you pass by a gathering in which there is a discussion that you dislike, then leave such a gathering. Hence, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has also explained that which kind of gathering a believer should abstain from. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is not speaking about what he personally dislikes. Rather, disliking certain discussions that are against the administration and the Jamaat. And it is regarding such gatherings that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed to leave. As I have mentioned earlier, that how should one express disapproval for such gatherings? Regarding this, there is a hadith, i.e. a tradition of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in which Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas narrates that a person asked the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that whose gatherings should we attend? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, responded by saying, you should attend the gatherings of such people that when you see them, it reminds you of God Almighty, and their discussion increases you in religious knowledge, and whose deeds remind you of the Day of Judgment. Hence, this is the guiding principle which a believer should keep in mind while selecting the type of gathering to sit in. One should prefer gatherings where God Almighty is being remembered, and discussions about the magnificence of Allah the Almighty's religion are taking place, and it is becoming a source of increasing one's religious knowledge. In this day and age, enhancing religious knowledge is integral for every Ahmadi. These are necessary for the sake of doing tabligh and calling people towards Allah and for moral training. It is such things that also serve as a reminder about the hereafter and focus one's attention towards the fact that the glamour and grandeur of the world is not everything, and that the worldly fortunes and comforts are not everything. Rather, the real objective of a believer should be to obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. The first hadith has been elaborated upon that a believer should not prefer the gatherings of worldly people, and one should immediately leave such gatherings. If we can direct our attention towards this, then our adults as well as our youth can be safeguarded from many evils and mischief. There is another type of gathering that members of the youth are involved in. They attend such gatherings on the basis of simply having fun and for their leisure activity. In fact, due to the influence of Western culture, some of our youth members also think that it is permissible to attend such gatherings. However, a young believer should always remember that they should protect themselves from these types of gatherings. And that there are certain limits which he or she should adhere to. There are also some cases within the Jamaat where, due to bad company and the influence of immoral gatherings, have caused some of our younger members who, upon entering their youthful years, commit such activities which cause harm to others. Or they cause harm to their neighbors, or someone walking down the street, or they hurt someone mischievously whilst visiting a certain place. However, such actions become a source of disgrace for the Jamaat when people find out that the culprit is a member of the Ahmadiyya community. Therefore, parents should be watchful of their children's social circle and their friendships in order to safeguard our youth members from being in bad company and in such gatherings when they enter their youthful years. We should hold such pure gatherings in our homes also, which are best in terms of moral training. Moreover, on one occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that when a group of people are sitting in the mosque for the recitation of the Holy Quran and for the purpose of education and learning, then Allah the Almighty bestows tranquility upon them and they are covered by His mercy, and the angels take them under their wing. It is the sheer grace of Allah the Almighty that wherever the Jamaat is established in the world, it has the opportunity to organize gatherings such as jalsas and ijtamas, i.e. conventions and gatherings of the auxiliary organization. And the purpose of such events are for moral training, as well as to increase knowledge and to remember Allah the Almighty and to pray to Him. Today, for example, the ijtama for Lajna Imaila UK, i.e. the Women's Auxiliary Organization in the UK, is commencing. The Lajna should keep in mind that the majority of their programs should consist of religious and educational programs. And the ladies attending the Ijtama should also keep in mind that they are not attending some sort of festival. They should fulfill the purpose of attending the Ijtama, and they should hold religious and educational gatherings throughout, even if it is not part of the program. And instead of talking about useless and futile things, they should engage in constructive conversations, and they should always abstain from vain discourses and not waste their time. On one occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that people who sit in gatherings in which there is no remembrance of God Almighty, such people will on the Day of Judgment regret such gatherings. Thus, those attending the Ijtima should remember the purpose for which they are attending and fulfill that purpose. Rather than spending one's time engaged in amusements and idle talk, they should spend the time in the remembrance of God and in talking about virtuous deeds, so that on the Day of Judgment, our gatherings would not be like those filled with regret. What has the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, mentioned in regards to adopting righteousness and keeping in the company of the righteous? In one narration, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, not to sit with anyone other than a believer, and none other than the righteous should eat at your table. In the world today, we meet and have to interact with a number of different people. We have to live and interact with non-Muslims also. And so it cannot be the case that one stops meeting and interacting with non-Muslims. However, what the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was alluding to in this statement was that in one's close circle of friends, the people one spends most of their time with and sits in the company should be those who have firm faith and adhere to righteousness. And so that particular individual can also increase in righteousness and piety. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that in order to reform one's own self, God Almighty has advised us by saying that kunu ma'as sadiqeen, meaning to keep company with those from whose words and actions truthfulness resonates. In other words, their discourse is truthful and their actions are based on honesty. Essentially, all of their actions should reverberate with truthfulness, i.e. they are righteous individuals. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, continues by saying that Allah the Almighty first states, O ye who believe, fear Allah. This means that in the first instance, one should profess belief, and then after this, one should abandon sinful practices and keep in the company of the truthful. The company one keeps has a deep underlying effect on that individual's personality. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, then states, for example, if an individual spends all his time in the company of harlots, but then says that he does not visit them to commit adultery, the reply to such an individual should be that they will carry out the act as they will indeed succumb to it one day or another. The reason for this is that keeping in the company of the wicked can only produce a detrimental outcome, as one's company can influence a person. Similarly, if one regularly visits places where alcohol is consumed, then no matter how much they abstain from it, eventually they will certainly drink alcohol. Thus, always safeguard yourself from the company of the wicked. As I have mentioned earlier, in our daily lives we live and interact with others. However, there should be a limit to this interaction. It should not be the case that one joins in their vain and inappropriate gatherings. Many evils arise due to attending such gatherings. In fact, the people here in the UK have had experience with this, and many British women have stated that their husbands were very polite and civilized. However, owing to certain friendships, they have developed bad habits and now go to various immoral gatherings. And so, even non-Muslims are understanding this fact. Therefore, we should be more mindful of this. And in order to prevent this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that if one spends time in the company of those who are of no faith and they dine with them on a regular basis, then eventually they will cause you to move away from your faith and righteousness. Nevertheless, in order to preach the message, it is important to make acquaintances, without which one is able to perform tabligh. However, for this one should bring them to our own gatherings, because our virtuous gatherings will have an impact and leave an impression on them. Countless people who have attended our jalsas, i.e. annual conventions, or other gatherings, admit to the fact that attending our event has had an overwhelming impact on them and has changed them. Whilst further explaining the impact one's friendship and company has on an individual, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, when an individual sits in the company of one who is pious and truthful, then that individual partakes of that truthfulness. However, if one abandons the company of the pious and instead associates with the sinful and wicked, then that individual is influenced by evil thoughts. This is why the Holy Quran and the Ahadith have stressed on the fact that one should abstain from the company of the evil and immoral. It is emphasized that if God Almighty or the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is being ridiculed in a certain gathering, then one should immediately leave such gatherings. Otherwise, they will also be counted amongst those who are guilty of blasphemy. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam continues by saying, the one who keeps company with the pious and truthful is counted amongst them. That is why man is in great need of kunu ma'as-sadiqeen, I keep in the company of the truthful. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, in a hadith it has been mentioned that God Almighty sends angels into this world and they visit pure and virtuous gatherings. When they return to God Almighty, He asks them, what did you see in those gatherings? To this they reply, we witnessed a gathering in which they were revering and honoring you. However, in the gathering, there was one man who, though was seated there, he was not officially part of that gathering. To this God Almighty replied, no, he was also part of that gathering, for the reason that they are a nation by which even those sitting in their company are not wasted. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further explains that it is evident from this just how important it is to keep in the company of the truthful. The one who does not associate themselves with such people is extremely unfortunate and pitiful. Thus, the people who sit in the company of believers become those who derive the blessings of God Almighty, provided the gatherings are those in which there is remembrance of God. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, there are many people who verbally profess that they believe in God. However, on further investigation, it becomes evident that they are in fact atheists. The reason for this is that when they are busy in their worldly pursuits, they overlook the wrath and grandeur of God. That is why it is vital that every single one of you should seek wisdom from God Almighty through prayers. Without this, one can never attain true conviction. In turn, one can never achieve this until they realize the fact that abandoning God is tantamount to death. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, when one prays to abstain from sin, at the same time one should never forsake the measures required to achieve this. You should eschew every assembly and gathering that incites one to commit sin, and also pray in this regard. Behold, unless one has the succor of God Almighty, one can never evade those trials that are destined for him. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, prayer which is offered 5 times in the day alludes to this very truth, in that until it is not protected from one's inner passions and thoughts, it will certainly not be considered true prayer. Prayer certainly does not mean to simply go back and forth aimlessly and to offer it merely as a ritual or a customary practice. Prayer is where one's heart feels the soul melt and in an extreme state of fear falls at the threshold of God. The Promised Messiah further states, as much as possible one should try and instill a state of intense emotion of fervor and supplicate with complete humility to become free from insolence and sin which is found in one's nature. Such is the prayer which is full of blessings. If one perseveres in this way, the prayer which is full of blessings. And if one perseveres in this way, then soon either in the day or in the night one shall witness that a spiritual light has descended upon their heart, and the brazen nature of nafs-e-amara, i.e. the soul that incites to evil, has reduced. Just as a snake carries venomous poison, so too does the nafs-e-amara, and thus he who has created it also has its remedy. In other words, it is only God Almighty who has the remedy to cure sin. Therefore, one should prostrate before Him and seek His help so that He always protects one from the evil influences of this world and the influences of evil gatherings. It is mentioned in one of the narrations that it was the practice of the Holy Prophet that while leaving a gathering, he would recite the following prayer, that, O Allah, holy is Thou, and I swear in the name of Thine prayers that there is none worthy of worship except Thee. I seek Thy forgiveness and turn towards Thee. Then on another occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that there are few words that if one reads them three times upon leaving a gathering, then as a result of it, Allah the Almighty shall cover his sins which he committed in that gathering. Similarly, one who reads them in a virtuous gathering and gatherings in which there was the remembrance of God, then this prayer shall be stamped along with it. And these words are as follows. That is, O Allah, holy is Thou with Thy praise, and there is none worthy of worship except Thee. I seek Thy forgiveness and turn towards Thee. Thus protect me from the ill effects of anything which I say that is deemed improper. Thus the prayer protects one from the ill effects from any improper statement that is uttered, and enables one to derive maximum benefit from the holy gatherings. Just as the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has stated that until one does not have the help of God Almighty, one cannot be liberated. Therefore, one should always seek the help of God Almighty. May God Almighty grant us the ability to always refrain from evil gatherings. And if we ever unknowingly become part of one, then may He protect us from its ill effects. May you always keep in search of pious gatherings and be a part of them, and that may you partake from the virtue of these pious gatherings and also from the blessings of God Almighty. May Allah the Almighty always protect us from the onslaughts of Satan and treat us with His mercy and forgiveness. May He always keep us attached with Khilafat and the Nizam-e-Jamaat, i.e. the administrative structure of the Jamaat, and may He protect us from the evil of every mischief-maker. After the prayers, I shall offer a funeral prayer in absentia for one of our African Ahmadis, respected Bilal Abdus Salam Sahib. He lived in Philadelphia, USA, and passed away on 13th September. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah be we belong, and to Him shall we return. He also came this year to the UK. And on the first night of the Jalsa, when the program of the Pan-African Association was taking place, he suddenly had a stroke and became extremely unwell. And he was immediately taken to hospital, where he remained for a few days for treatment. His health then seemed to have improved, and he even came to see me, and I met him twice after his illness. He generally seemed to look well, and afterwards he traveled back to America. He was born in 1934 in Florida, and at the age of 6, his parents passed away. At the age of 8, he went to a boarding school where he received an education in biblical studies. He worked in various roles and also served in the army. In 1957, he became a minister of gospel. However, he had some reservations regarding certain doctrines of Christianity. In 1960, he met a Sunni Muslim who gave him a copy of the Holy Quran, which had been published by the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. He asked this friend about the people of this Jamaat whom this Quran belonged to, and he replied that though they are not Muslims, however their books are good. And so he took the contact details from this friend and obtained a contact of an Ahmadi friend. He arrived at the shop of this Ahmadi contact and saw the picture of the promised Messiah, and upon inquiring about it, was told that this was the promised Messiah alayhi salam and the Imam Mahdi. In any case, he later accepted Ahmadiyyat and began tabligh, i.e. outreach work, in Philadelphia along with other Ahmadis. Bilal Abdus Salam Sahib also had a lot of passion to learn about the Holy Quran, and he would embark on a four-hour journey to Pittsburgh every other Sunday so that he could acquire more knowledge. He also served as the president of the Philadelphia Jamaat and as the secretary for Waqf-e Jadid and New Converts in the National Amla. He also dedicated his life for some time and served as an honorary missionary in Baltimore and afterwards continued to do tabligh work. He had great love for Khilafat, and he adhered to the Nizam-e-Jamaat, and his obedience was of the highest level. He would always become very emotional whenever the subject of Khilafat was brought up. He also had the opportunity to attend the Jalsa Salana in Qadian in 1975. Currently, the mosque in Philadelphia is under construction, and he had a great desire for its completion and was also making a lot of effort in this regard. He would go to his construction site and spend the whole day in the cabin and would remain occupied in prayer and wanted the mosque to be constructed as quickly as possible. I hope that this mosque will, inshallah, be constructed quickly. His wife, Mrs. Assinston, is a pastor and was not an Ahmadi, but always treated him kindly. He leaves behind two sons and two daughters, and one of his sons, Umar Abdus Salam Sahib, did the bayat in 1993 and entered the Jamaat. He is Ahmadi, however the rest are not. Also, Abdullah Diba Sahib, who is currently serving as a missionary in America, he writes that he was a very active member of the Jamaat in America. He was extremely kind, friendly, and a loving person. He would always help others and would always be at the forefront in Jamaat activities. He had a very special bond with the youth and would always strive for their moral training and for safeguarding them from the ills prevalent in society. He brought a positive change in the lives of many young men and would always guide them to remain on the straight path. He further states, a significant number of youth have become active members of the Jamaat and in their society because of his training. When he was ill in hospital, he had instructed to always have a copy of the Holy Quran kept near his pillow. And even when he was ill here in the UK, he said that God Almighty has given me another life because there are a few works of mine which are not complete yet and I wish to complete them. As I have mentioned before, that he was extremely devoted in his attachment with Khilafat. Whenever he would meet me, he would always have a very distinctive smile on his face, and his sincerity and devotion was evident from his eyes. May Allah the Almighty elevate his status and grant him forgiveness. And may he enable the rest of his family members to also accept Ahmadiyyat.
Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ